Love Talk Radio.
Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like those sheikins and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face. Then you got them rappers with that cold broke face. They torn around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at its own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frontin'.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking me, I say impeccable. Running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I blaze them too. Ooh, deja vu. You seen this all before me, slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs. Cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Me getting booed? Shit. I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot. Me and the ice can't get close.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame. And the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn? So proudly we hailed at the twilight land gleaming.
You're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, let it be, let our rejoice and rise high. Turning the tide, loud as the orgia. God and true to our native land.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes, with no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's Electric Money.
Can we get much higher?
About this back in Chicago, mercy, mercy me, that mercy will I go. That's me, the first year that I blow. How you stay broke in Spanish, me no I blow. Me drown sorrow in that Diablo. Me found bravery in my bravado. DJs need to listen to the models. You ain't got no fucking Yeezy in Serato. Stupid, but what the hell do I know? I'm just a Chi-Town nigga with a nice flow. And my chick in that new Phoebe Philo. So much head, I woke up to Sleepy Hollow.
Can we get much higher?
Oh, oh, oh.
Our political ticker right now. This is just coming into the Situation Room. A dramatic statement from Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. repudiating his father's crude remarks about Senator Barack Obama, remarks caught on an open microphone. In his statement, Congressman Jackson says, "I'm deeply outraged and disappointed in Reverend Jackson's reckless statements about Senator Barack Obama, his divisive and demeaning comments about the presumptive Democratic nominee, and I believe the next president of the United States, contradict his inspiring and courageous career." He then goes on to say this, Reverend Jackson is my dad, and I'll always love him. He should know how hard that I've worked for the last year and a half as a national co-chair of Barack Obama's presidential campaign. So I thoroughly reject and repudiate his ugly rhetoric. He should keep hope alive in any personal attacks and insults to himself. An extraordinary statement coming in right now from Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. And all Jesse,
you're looking at the most hated man in U.S. politics, a man who stole almost $1 million from his campaign and blew it on, well, really cool stuff, Jesse Jackson Jr.
Reverend Jesse Jackson says he's very sorry for remarks he made about Senator Barack Obama. Jackson made the comments after an interview with Fox News, and he says he simply didn't realize his microphone was on at the time. A videotaped portion of his remarks shows Jackson telling another guest that Barack Obama was, quote, talking down to black people. Speaking to CNN's Don Lemon on the Situation Room, Reverend Jackson said his comments were taken out of context.
Broader conversation about urban policy and racial disparities, and I feel very distressed because I'm so supportive of this campaign and what the center has done and is doing. I was in a conversation with a fellow guest at Fox on Sunday. He asked about Barack's speeches lately at the black churches. I said it can come off as speaking down to black people. The moral message must be a much broader message. Oh, what we need really is racial justice and urban policy and jobs and health care. There's a range of issues on the menu. And frankly, I think that is his basic urban policy position. No one else has put one together except him in this situation. And then I said something I felt regretfully crude, but it was very private and very much a soundbite in a live mic. And so I find no comfort in it, find no joy in it.
I think Jesse Jackson's biggest player hater. His time is up. All you old niggas' time is up. We done heard his voice. We done saw you marching. We done heard your sermons. We don't want to hear that shit no more. It's a new day. It's a new voice. I'm here now. We don't need Jesse. I'm here. I got this. We got Barack. We got a few. We got David Banners and Young Jeezy's. We the voice now. It's no more Jesse. Sorry. Goodbye. You ain't helping.
She walked in the court, her knees buckled, saying for a man to survive, he need hustle. Seen and been through struggle her whole life, made the transition from being his hoe to his wife. Stifling. The night had been the ATF busting. Her daddy was a hustler, so she loved him. Looked at the jury, how can they judge him? She screamed. In her chest, her face with tears, had a man's back, he was facing years, in her name, though the place was his, they trying to take everything except the kids, for years she been through scuffling fights, while he trying to hustle that white, up all night, wondering if he's alive, seeing him try, she bubbled inside and screamed. Judge yelled for order, court reporter making her words shorter. His lawyer sat next to him. She could see how the trial was affecting him. It hurt for her eyes to connect with him. Using her lies for protecting him. They arrested him for murder and gun possession as they read back her confession.
daughter waited as the foreman got the verdict from the bailiff. Emotional outburst, tears, and smear makeup. It stated he was guilty on all charges. She shaking, looking like she took it the hardest. A spin artist, she brought her face up laughing. That's when the prosecutor realized what happened. All that speaking of mind, testifying and crying. When this bitch did the crime, the queenpin.
Yeah. Y'all know I was going to not let it ride out. I got Ebony back in the building. She been off for a second on vacation down in the dirty, dirty, dirty South, kicking it live. She went down there South promoting the conference that we had last week about the black contractors. Thank you for going out there promoting. I hope she have a good turnout Saturday. Right on, right on. And, a lot was going on. Ebony was not with me when Jesse went down. And she came back like, bro, you want to do a show? I'm like, Ebony, where was you at? You know what I'm saying? We did a show. But nah, bro, we had to keep it funky. I'm like, well, man, you know, we got a guest. What the hell? I mean, keep it funky again. Jimbo. She said, I got the show lined up. I got it rolling. She has been playing it so far. She's shit been going on. Excuse me. The stuff been going on. Or how I like to say it in the ghetto, the dookie has been going on. They didn't take shit out as a bad word, you know what I'm saying? Because it really is it's a noun in the first place for a thing. You know, I'm the shit, get that shit, that shit stank, what is this shit? Shit can just be, you know. So why is it a bad word? Hold on. Let me not even roll on the shit spot because I'm not in the shithole. Who's in the shithole is Jesse Jackson Jr. This shitty motherfucker's in the shithole. You know, so let me keep back on shitty JJJ. And I got a lot of stuff I want to say. But honestly, because I'm going to keep it real. He has children. No, we're talking about him. He has kids. And you know how we felt when you talk about stuff about our mama and stuff, you know, when him and Pat Dow had everybody sticking in front of our mama house. You know how Jamoke and felt, couldn't go outside. You know, my children looking at that door, they're looking at how they came after us. So I'm going to be real careful and tender how I walk on this. And Ebony, I'm going to throw a trivia question because I know you didn't listen to my show yesterday, so I know you're not going to get this answer. And I know I played it, so Jameer don't even know who sing the song if I gave the name of the song. But I'm going to ask you, do you know the hook, just the hook, Ebony, of the song that was the outro to Mama's campaign and the song that kept us strong as we waited for this time right here? All right. As always, Ebony is right on time. And we got a little main ingredient, the song that was playing during my mother's time at all. You know, it's one of those, just listen to it. You know, because we've got strength and we got pride. Why, Ebony? Because God is on our side. Ebony's really on it. She really on it. That girl's on it.
Everyone must play fair. All you beginners know that you got to start somewhere.
I'm not
when you know you're right. You'll get some bruises, but some fool might see the light. So when you talk confusing, keep it bright.
It's on our side. That's what we're saying. Because right is right. And what's wrong is wrong. What's right is right. And what's wrong is wrong. Because God is on our side. All right, Ev, I feel you. So let's hit it. 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 All right, all right, all right. The Most High is on our side, so let's start the slam campaign, Ebony. Not the world's most hated man, but let's just do a recap. So recap what you missed out on.
Jesse Jackson Jr., of course, was a congressman out of Illinois, and he got busted for misappropriating campaign funds, got sentenced today, 2.5 years in prison, 3 years of probation after that, and he's going to have to pay back the $750,000 in campaign funds that he used on himself. Ouch. Now, what did he use these campaign funds for? This is unreal. Things such as Bruce Lee memorabilia. That's what you committed the crimes for? You what an idiot. A $43,000 Rolex watch and a mink cashmere cape? You bought a cape, you dumbass? And he's so dumb because I don't know if you know this, but bribery has been legalized in America. If you, all you got to do is vote for whatever the hell they want. They give you all the campaign donations you want. They give it to your nonprofit. They'll hire your wife. They'll give her a fake job. They'll give everybody in your family fake jobs. We've covered it in every single instance, whether it was Norm Coleman's wife, it's Orrin Hatch's son. It's a date. And then when you get out of office, they'll pay you millions of dollars. Bribery's been legalized, you dumbass. Why did you do it in the illegal way? This is the dumbest politician in America. You should go to jail for that. So now his wife was also taking part in this. I don't know if it was her or him that wanted the cape. She also got 1 year in prison. She's ordered to pay $22,000 in restitution. Now the judge was merciful and said that they will not serve it at the same time so that they can take turns taking care of their kids. Now all of a sudden Jesse Jackson Jr. is a hero, so he says to the judge during sentencing, if probation is not available to her, give me her time. Yeah, that's not how it works. Okay, you can't just come in and say, oh, she committed a crime, but can I serve a sentence? It's a BS way of trying to seem heroic at the last moment after he already took the money for his $43,000 Rolex. Why do you need a watch for $43,000? That's what you stole the money for. You didn't need it for your kids. You didn't need it for the education. You needed it for a gaudy, stupid-ass watch. And you're a U.S. congressman. They weren't going to notice your $43,000 watch. Can you get the sense that I think that this was a dumb move? Okay, now, finally, of course, as always, right before they go to jail, guess who they run into? Jesus of Nazareth. Quote, I still believe in the power of forgiveness. I believe in the power of redemption. Today I manned up and tried to accept responsibility for the error of my ways, and I still believe in the resurrection. Well, you'll have to wait 2.5 years for your resurrection because you're going to jail. Always with the Jesus talk. Where was Jesus when you were taking the money for your cape? Where was he then? How come you only run into him as you're about to go to jail? And he says, no, it's okay. I realize the error of my ways. I wish you'd realize the error of your ways mid-robbery. That would have been better for you, would have been better for the people whose funds you were misusing, etc. It's always convenient that after they've been caught and they're about to get sentenced that they realize the error of their ways and they look for redemption from Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Lord Jesus Christ would not have been interested in. An asshole who buys a $43,000 watch. You'd have been the first one he threw out of the temple. Well, now you get to think more about Jesus as you sit there in prison for 2.5 years. Enjoy.
Former Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. has just been sentenced to 30 months in prison. Jackson pled guilty in February to misusing over $750,000 in campaign funds for personal expenses. On top of the prison sentence, the judge also ordered a 3-year supervised release. Joining us to discuss is HuffPost Media Group editorial director Howard Fineman. Good to talk to you, Howard. This is no great surprise, right?
No, it's not a surprise. Jesse Jr. turned out to be as corrupt as they come. He was a kind of bad example of Chicago politics at its worst. I had covered him extensively. I'd written about him, and it's a shame because he's a guy with tremendous political talent. I think he was dedicated to the South Side of Chicago. I once took a tour with him around the South Side. He showed me where his father lived and where his home was and the other landmarks of the South Side, including the empty and abandoned mills, some of which are the kinds of communities that Barack Obama himself had worked in. But Jesse wanted the money. He once told me that he'd been invited down to see the Federal Reserve Bank in Chicago, where they had a whole room full of gold bars. And I kid you not, it made a big impression on him. He never got all the gold bars, but he did get the 24-karat gold Rolex. Unfortunately, he got it with campaign funds.
It's kind of bizarre. I mean, without expecting you to put on your psychologist or psychiatrist hat, what do you make of the kind of cognitive dissonance in a character like that, where, as you say, he has this deep passion for and caring about poor people, and then he goes out and does something this unethical?
Well, first of all, there are personal issues as well that go beyond that. I think he struggled with his weight. He probably took various kinds of diets and drugs to help deal with that. He was kind of born as a public figure under the sun of his S-U-N of his father. I think he had trouble dealing with that. He was the son and namesake. I think he was interested in politics, but I think what he really would have rather done, had he had freedom to do it, was go into business, to really pursue riches directly rather than in the kind of weird way and corrupt way he did it. So that's as far as I can really take it. It's sad. He's the guy with talent, but he had many burdens, and they crushed him.
I mean, not knowing the guy, I find it easy to think of it, that it's not that sad, because I just think, you know, if you're stealing money, essentially, and taking money that people right. are giving you under one pretense, and then you're spending on a $43,000 Rolex watch,
right.
a mink cashmere cape, I mean, the things he was buying are like the things that cartoon poor
sick.
People think that cartoon rich people own.
Well, it was self-destructive to engage in a little pop psychology, Josh. I mean, he was highly self-destructive. I think he hated the life he was in, and he was trying to both justify it and blow himself up at the same time, and that's sadly what happened. I mean, his wife, I think, is also, I don't know what's going to happen, but whether she's going to serve time or not, but she was convicted of being the person who hid a lot of that spending in their tax returns. So it's a sad, I know him well enough to know that he was a talented guy who was just torn apart by his own demons, and it's too bad.
Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. has been sentenced to 2.5 years in prison. Earlier this year, the son of civil rights leader Jesse Jackson pleaded guilty to using $750,000 in campaign funds to buy personal items. He told a federal judge in Washington that he misled the American people. Court papers say Jackson used the money to buy a Rolex, household appliances, and dinners out, to some of over 3,100 personal expenses on the list. Jackson's wife, Sandra, a former Chicago alderman, pleaded guilty to filing false federal tax returns and was sentenced to 1 year. Prosecutors say she spent the money on items including fur capes and parkas. Prosecutors sought less than maximum sentences for both Jacksons, recognizing that they have young children. Matt Friedman.
Feel it coming in the air.
Yeah. And the screams from everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to the smell.
I'm ready.
It's a dangerous Stop. Love affair.
Come on.
Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind.
All black, everything. And our girls are black birds, riding with a diligence. I can't more in depth if you boys really risen up. This is not familiar, I'll explain later. But for now, let me get back to this paper. I'm a couple bands down and I'm trying to get back. I gave another grip, I lost a flip of 5 stacks. Yeah, I'm talking 5,6,0, dot 0, hit up. Back to running circles round niggas, now we squared up. Hold up.
On your dick, no homo. I bought my whole family whips, no Volvos. Next time I'm in church, please, no photos. Police escorts, everybody passports. This the life that everybody asks for. This a fast life, we are on a crash course. What you think I rap for, to push the fucking rap for? But I know that if I stay stunting, all these girls only gon' want one thing. I could spend my whole life goodwill hunting. Only good gon' come and be good when I'm coming. She got an ass that'll swallow up a G-string. And up top, two beasting. And I'm beasting off the re-sling. And my nigga just made it out the precinct. We give a damn about the drama that you do bring. I'm just trying to change the color on your mood ring. Reebok, baby, you need to try some new things. Have you ever had shoes without shoestrings? What's that, yay? Baby, these heels. Is that a mate? What? Baby, these wheels. You tripping when you ain't sipping. Have a refill. You're feeling like you're running, huh? Now you know how we feel.
Yo, Jesse, have you ever had shoes without shoestrings? What's that, Jim Lee? Baby, these heels. You ain't got to ask for money, baby, he steals. You tripping up your meds, homie. That's why you running. Now you know how we feel.
Jesse.
You're looking at the most hated man in U.S. politics. A man who stole almost $1 million from his campaign and blew it on, well, really cool stuff. Jesse Jackson Jr. And this video is about to get awesome.
We got Jesse Jackson Jr. in D.C.
Yes, it's the first time we've seen Jesse since he pled guilty to spending $750,000 of campaign funds on personal stuff, like
a fur cape,
multiple capes,
a mounted elk's head, a football signed by two American presidents,
$17,000 on cigars and other tobacco products.
Most importantly, a used Michael Jackson fedora.
In short, bam. Jesse Jackson Jr. And on the streets of D.C., our brave photog asked the questions everyone wants to know.
Why the Michael Jackson fedora and not the glove?
I mean, come on. That's great.
And that's not all.
Where is the Michael Jackson fedora now, Jesse? Jesse, are you going to keep the Michael Jackson fedora or the Bruce Lee memorabilia?
He bought a bunch of Bruce Lee memorabilia as well.
We love him. This is amazing.
Yep.
Did you at least get to wear the Michael Jackson fedora, Jesse?
And finally!
Have a good one, Jesse.
Oh, that was actually pleasant. So what do you think about J3 now?
It's terrible, but he has made some epic choices in what he's bought.
It's stolen money.
Wait, where do you buy a fur cape?
Capes or Us?
Cape Town?
Okay. Cape Town.
Oh, that all sounds pretty cool.
You gotta love this a little bit, Harper.
Pay him.
Yeah, he's not a good guy.
But as far as
what he bought is fabulous.
So congrats, Jesse J. Jr. You're horrible, but you got style.
I still believe in the resurrection.
Former Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. reacting after he's sentenced to 2.5 years in prison. Good afternoon. Both Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife Sandy sentenced to federal prison time today.
Now, before that sentence was handed down, both of them gave tearful pleas for mercy. ABC 7's Ben Bradley was there for the sentencing, and as it was handed down, he joins us live once again from Washington, D.C. Ben?
Linda Allen, Jesse Jackson Jr. spoke more emotionally, powerfully, and tearfully than any public official I've seen hauled before a federal judge. But in the end, it was likely his decision to cooperate early and plead guilty that helped him more than any words he spoke in court today.
It could have been worse. Jesse Jackson Jr. sentenced to 2.5 years. Prosecutors wanted 4.
I still believe in the power of forgiveness. I believe in the power of redemption. Today I manned up and tried to accept responsibility for the errors of my ways.
Jackson made a last-ditch attempt to spare his wife prison time. In court, he tearfully told the judge, "Give me her time. What she did was a subset of what I did, a culture I allowed to exist." The judge said no, saying the former Chicago alderman also enjoyed living large thanks to her husband's campaign fund, appliances for their home, furniture for the kids, furs, and trips.
This has been an extraordinarily difficult time for our family.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson, his wife, and other family members fought back tears as Jesse Jr. told the judge, "I also want to apologize to my dad and my mother because I am an example for the whole family." The former congressman revealed he prefers serving his time farther from his family, saying, "I asked for Alabama so I could be as far away from everybody as I could be for a while."
He is still recovering. Jesse has been very sick. This time a year ago, I really thought we may have lost him. I think he's strong enough now to accept the challenges put before him by the judge.
The judge did not dispute Jesse Jackson Jr.'s bipolar diagnosis, but did say defense attorneys simply didn't present much evidence of the illness's severity or Jackson's treatment.
She now is going to move forward into this period of time where she's going to be able to be with the children, get them through this difficult time, and rebuild her life.
Jesse Jr. also says he's looking forward, not back.
I still believe in the power of forgiveness. I believe in the power of redemption.
The judge has agreed to a Jackson family request to allow Jesse Jr. to report to prison first. He'll do that sometime after November 1st. He also has to pay back $750,000, the money that he stole from his campaign fund. Today in court, Jesse Jr. said he believes he will be able to pay that money back to the government. He says he hopes before he has to report to prison. That's latest live in Washington. Ben Bradley, ABC 7 News. Alan?
Ben, do we know when the Bureau of Prisons will decide where he will be serving this sentence?
Well, the judge agreed to a request that Jesse Jr. serve his time at the federal prison camp in Montgomery, Alabama. She's also recommending that Sandy Jackson serve her time at a women's facility in Florida. But those are just recommendations. It's the Bureau of Prisons that ultimately decides who goes where.
Right. Now, of course, that decision's still to come. We haven't heard that. All right, Ben, thanks so much for reporting live from Washington, D.C. Well, this has been a long road leading to this point for Jesse Jackson Jr. He was first elected to Congress back in December of 1995 after winning that special election to replace embattled Representative Mel Reynolds. His personal problems actually began to unravel in June of last year when Jackson took a medical leave from Congress. It was a month later that his office reported that he was being treated for a mood disorder. Then in August of last year, the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, said that Jackson was being treated for bipolar disorder. In November, sources revealed that Jackson was negotiating a plea deal with prosecutors who were investigating him as well as his finances. Then just a few weeks later, he resigned from Congress, citing health issues in a letter to House Speaker John Boehner. In that letter, he said that the constituents of the 2nd District deserve a full-time legislator in Washington, something that he could not be for the foreseeable future. And then it was in February of this year, federal charges filed against the former congressman and his wife, the former alderman, Sandy Jackson. 5 days later, they both pleaded guilty to the criminal charges against them. Linda?
And now to some background on the judge in this case. Judge Amy Berman Jackson has an extensive legal career. The Harvard graduate appointed as a United States district judge in March of 2011. And then prior to that, she was in private practice in Washington, D.C. as a member of Trout Cacheris. That is where she specialized in complex criminal and civil trials and appeals. And then from 1980 to 1986, Judge Jackson had served as an assistant United States attorney for the District of Columbia.
Well, prosecutors and Justice Department officials releasing some strong statements criticizing the Jacksons today. U.S. Attorney Ronald Machen writing, Jesse Jackson Jr.'s journey from the halls of Congress to federal prison is a tragedy of his own making. The prison sentence imposed today should serve as a wake-up call to other public officials who believe there are no consequences for betraying the public trust. Richard Weber, the IRS Criminal Investigation Division chief, writing, this case exposed layers of greed and corruption masked by the illusion of success. The Jacksons were granted the privilege of political office to better the lives of others, but used it instead for their own selfish benefit. Valerie Parlave, the assistant FBI director in charge, saying Mr. Jackson and his wife selfishly supported themselves with campaign funds and went to great lengths to hide their illegal activity, but they can hide no more as they pay the price with today's sentences.
Fraud niggas, y'all niggas, that's that shit I don't like. Yo shit, make believe, rapping about my own life. That's Rand, nigga. Ric Flair, nigga. The power's in my hair, nigga. I get this beat to tear, nigga. Soho, a Tribeca, three hoes, trifecta. Dope money, coke money, shoe blow. My watch better, my pen's better. You don't write, trendsetter, you clone like. Pay homage or cage vomit. Ungrateful niggas, I don't like. Rah!
A fuck nigga, that's that shit I don't like.
Bang, bang.
A snitch nigga, that's that shit I don't like.
Bang, bang.
A bitch nigga, that's that shit I don't like.
Bang, bang.
Sneak nigga, that's that shit I don't like.
This Chicago, nigga.
Smile in my face is what I don't like. They see a whole sound, that's a sound bite. The media crucify me like they did Christ. They wanna find me not breathing like they found Mike. A girl will run her mouth only out of spite. But I never hit a woman, never in my life. I was in too deep like Makai Fife. And that pussy so deep I could've drowned twice. Rose gold, Jesus peace with the brown ice. Eating good vegetarian with the brown rice. Girls kissing girls, cause it's hot, right? But unless they use a strap on, then they not dykes. They ain't about that life, they ain't about that life. We hanging out the window, it's about to be a Suge night. Free Bump J, real nigga for life. Shout out to Derrick Rose, man that nigga nice. Shout out to L.E.P., J Boogie, right? Chief King Louie, this is Shy, right? Right?
Jesse Jackson Jr. will find out that the fantasy's over.
for sure when the federal judge sentences him to prison. Either you can have the fantasy about Chicago as some sort of wonderful place where the politicians actually are about public service, or you can have the reality about a bunch of warlords cutting up the pie while we go further and further into devastating debt. Right? I suggest we have something called the Illinois Reality Association, right? Which sort of lets us realize they just spend money, they take care of themselves, and they treat the voters with thorough contempt. But the royals are ruthless to maintain those crowns upon their head. And I don't think he had the discipline, the ruthlessness, or the intelligence, the political intelligence. He's a smart guy. But he just didn't have what it took to make it in the game. All that promise that he had, rhetorical, the name, right? But he didn't take care of business. And if you don't take care of business in politics in Chicago, bad things happen. So Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife show up in federal court today crying, weeping, blubbering into the handkerchiefs. And all the tears that they shed couldn't put those stuffed elk heads back on the wall, and they couldn't put the $750,000 back. He received 30 months. She got a year in prison, 12 months, for stealing $750,000. Are you kidding me? Try stealing $7,000 from a bank. See what happens. Try stealing $2,000 from a gas station. See what happens. You're not going to be able to pick your prison. There won't be all that nonsense. When there's no money left, when people are out of work, when the debt on the state and on the city crushes us, and the federal government, you got to think of these elected officials. Their private conduct informs their public work. Okay? So if you can't tell the difference, if you went to law school, Mr. Jackson, she passed the bar. He's been in politics all his life. She's been in politics. Are you telling me that you didn't know that what you were doing was wrong?
Hello, Common Sense Nation. I'm your host, the Junkyard Dog, E.T. Williams. Please visit the website at www.whateverhappenedtocommonsense.com. You know, I am really starting to be completely irritated with frauds like Al Sharpton. I don't know if you saw the latest of this so-called preacher. I don't know where he could have possibly got his doctrine degree from. I bet you he's not even a real reverend. Probably an undercover sissy. But in the latest allegiance, he does the Pledge of Allegiance, but he forgets to put God in the Pledge of Allegiance. He takes God out. Now, we have over here with the Muslims speaking in Arab, saying a Pledge of Allegiance to Allah, and we have a Reverend Al Sharpton who drops under God while invoking the Pledge of Allegiance. In this new ad, lean forward, he must mean lean forward with Barack Hussein Obama. This phony Reverend, I don't know who's the fakest out of this Reverend and that phony Jesse Jackson. They're on this crusade, still thinking we're back at the back of the bus. They're on this crusade for the homosexual agenda because he and Barack Obama and Jesse Jackson all are nothing but a bunch of closet homosexuals. But he can say everything else he wants to say. You can get the Muslims to invoke Allah in Aramaic, but we got this phony Reverend who won't even say one nation under God in this particular ad. And that's why I never had any respect for Al Sharpton. He is, I don't know who's worse than him and Jesse Jackson. I really don't. you know, Jesse Jackson thinks we can shoot airplanes out the sky. He's been invoking saying we need to be more tolerant towards homosexuals, and nobody is advocating violence towards homosexuals. But how are you going to read the Bible? You're supposed to be a reverend. How are you going to read the Bible and in a conscious way say that homosexuality is okay? He said he wants equal opportunity for homosexuals just as it was for black. This dumb Negro, Al Sharpton, a penitentiary pimp, he and Jesse Jackson, I mean, they should be locked up for impersonating leaders. I don't know how anyone tolerates these buffoons, these clowns. I mean, Jesse Jackson, this Don King wannabe, in his ad, won't say God. That is very offensive to me. You got a reverend. Won't he take reverend out of the front of his name and just say, I'm Al in the closet, Sharpton. I'm Al down low, Sharpton. I'm Barack Obama's calling card. It is fascinating that anybody listens to Al Sharpton. If you want to lose credibility with me real quick, if you give any credibility to Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, you can't possibly be credible. He is one of the biggest frauds out there, this poverty pimp. He and Jesse Jackson been pimping Negroes for the longest, and here he is thinking we're going to give him some credibility because they do a commercial. If I was going to listen to Lean Forward, I wouldn't listen to it. Now you got Al Sharpton on there refusing to even say God's name. That's phony. And how can any Christian, I've said it before, how can any Christian not only support that fraud in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama, a communist and God-hating communist at that. How can anyone be a Christian, call himself a Christian, and support Barack Obama? And how can anybody call himself a Christian and support Al Sharpton? I mean, you may as well just tear the Bible up if you're going to follow Al Sharpton, if you're going to have an allegiance to Barack Obama or Jesse Jackson. These Negroes don't know the first thing about God. They wouldn't have a clue. If God ascended right now in downtown Washington, D.C., and like he did with Moses on the Mount, he could start invoking the Ten Commandments. He could read Leviticus. He can come back to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. He could read Romans, the 1st chapter, and quote to them how homosexuality does not line up with the Word of God, and these dumb Negroes would argue in the face of God. That's how incredible Al Sharpton is. I wish I just could hold him down and cut that phony process off his head.
Can you just summarize it, what happened today, what the sentences were, and all the dynamics and the drama?
Sure. Well, let me say, you know, from the start, his and her guilty pleas and sentencings are pretty rare in our criminal justice system. And in the end, the judge, while showing some leniency to both defendants, sentenced former Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. to 2.5 years in prison, and his wife, Sandy Jackson, former 7th Ward Alderman from Chicago, to 1 year in prison. Now, should they behave in prison, Jackson Jr. could see his sentence cut by about, he could serve 85% of the sentence, which I think would put him out in a potentially 2 years and 1.5 months. However, under the terms that Sandy was sentenced, she will not be eligible for good time, so it looks like she'll be serving that full year in prison. And the big drama as to who would go first was resolved between the lawyers and the family. The judge said she would defer to their wishes. So Jesse Jackson Jr., once a very promising political official, known nationally, if not internationally, by November 1 will be behind bars in a federal prison, probably a prison camp.
Right. So they it was very dramatic today when both of the defendants had to appear before the judge and admit what they'd done. Can you describe that a bit?
Yes. Well, in criminal cases, of course, at sentencing, a defendant has the opportunity to address the judge. Not all of them take that opportunity. We were fully prepared today, though, with these two elected officials, quite accustomed to speaking in public, to make a last-ditch appeal for mercy. Jackson Jr. and Sandy Jackson both wept as they admitted their mistakes. Jackson Jr. said he was an example to the entire Congress and knew he had done wrong. He still made a last-ditch effort to have full responsibility on his shoulders. He said, if I could take my wife's time, I would serve her time. Sandy Jackson, her whole argument was really premised on the fact that their two children, a girl 19 and a boy who's 9, Jesse Jackson Jr.'s namesake, Jesse L. Jackson III, they call him Trey, that these two children needed their mother. Now, the judge has two children of her own, and she said basically, the federal prosecutor told the judge, there are federal defendants sentenced to prison every day in this country who have children. Many of them care very greatly, great deal about the children. And at one point, the judge admonished Sandy, saying to the effect, the government didn't put you in the position you are in now. The prosecutors didn't put you in the position you're in now. In other words, as a mother, perhaps, she seemed to be sending the message, as a mother, perhaps you could have stayed on the right side of the law and always had been there for your children.
Right, and so Jesse Jackson Jr. attempted to kind of take the whole blame himself, and the judge made clear that Sandy was culpable as well and knew where this money that she was spending was coming from, right?
I was actually very fascinated by that part because so much of what we saw today, a good deal of it played out in court papers that were filed in June. That's when the government and the defense lawyers argue about what would be the appropriate sentence. And let's remember, both Jacksons got a break from the sentencing guidelines. Not so much Sandy, but I should say the Jacksons got a break from what the prosecutors had sought. The prosecutors wanted Jesse Jackson Jr. to serve 4 years. They wanted Sandy Jackson to serve 18 months. Sandy's whole pitch was, please give me probation. My children need their mother. Now, what was quite interesting about the judge is she did highlight, as needed, the Jacksons' good works and their law degrees and the promise they had. But she came down very firmly on two points. In the case of Sandy, as I've said, she indicated, look, the government didn't put you in this position standing before me facing prison time. She went on to say that Sandy had been at one point Jesse Jackson Jr.'s campaign treasurer. She'd been a campaign consultant. She made hundreds of thousands of dollars from his war chest as a consultant to the campaign. And when Jackson faced Debbie Halverson in a spring primary in 2012, Sandy was the campaign manager. So this notion that she was somehow naive, a wife and mother who was not really fully culpable for the crimes did not wash whatsoever.
Right. And so the Jesse Jr.'s lawyers were attempting to cite the bipolar problem he's had. What did the judge say about that? Did the judge address that?
Well, let me begin by telling you what both sides said. The government took a pretty stern tact on the bipolar disorder. Matt Graves is an assistant federal prosecutor who really was pretty much spoke the only speaker for the government today. And he said, look, normally in a case like this, when mental health is at issue in a court case, you litigate it. There is discovery. There is an examination of the defendant. There's a sense of his medical records, what his medical needs are. This was not done in the case. There were representations, and we're a little bit handicapped here because some of these representations by doctors familiar with Jackson's case, some of that information was redacted from the public court file. But one physician did say he had bipolar disorder. Another person said he had non-specified mood disorder, probably bipolar. What the judge said is that she understood that he had a mental illness. She didn't dispute that. But she went on to just say these crimes occurred over 7 years. They involved more than 3,000 financial transactions, saying to the effect, maybe you were manic at some point, but the judge noted that she never saw on the record, perhaps this was when she was addressing Sandy, there was never an attempt to return any of these things. In other words, if you're saying that Jesse Jackson Jr. is mentally ill, why couldn't Sandy have taken the high road and corrected this bad behavior? Instead, she hammered Sandy Jackson for being the recipient of so much of this, high-end furniture, appliances. The judge said at one point, things you touch every day, fur capes, the memorabilia. She didn't go into all of this, but, you know, there were vacations to Disney. There were cruise charges. There were There was a Martha's Vineyard spa retreat. So it was very hard for Sandy to make the argument that she was the innocent spouse looking on unwittingly to this behavior.
That nigga want, guy. Word up. Look out for the cops, though.
Cash fruit.
Word up. 2 for 5's over here, baby. Word up. 2 for 5's. Niggas got garbage down the way. Word up.
Cash fruit. Everything around me. Cream it.
Yeah. Check this old fly shit out. Word up.
Cash fruit. Everything around
joint.
Me. Cream
it.
The
here
money.
We, here we go.
Dollar,
check
dollar bill,
yo. Yeah. I grew up on the crime side. The New York Times side. Staying alive was no job. At second hand. Moms bounced on old man, so then we moved to Shaolin land. A young youth, you're rocking the go-to. Low goose, only way I begin to G-York was drug loot. And let's start it like this, son. Rolling with this one and that one. Pulling out gas for fun, but it was just a dream for the team. Who was a fiend, started smoking wools at 16. And running up in gates and doing this by high stakes. Making my way all 5 states. No question, I was beat for cracks and weed. The combination made
stressed out or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
Do you hear that sound? Well, that's the sound of back pain. Are you tired of nagging and persistent back pain? Whether you're suffering from a chronic condition or a recent injury, don't fret. Chiropractic has proven to be a natural and holistic alternative to pain medications and surgical procedures. Visit Dr. Todd Tucker at our Water Tower location on Chicago's Magnificent Mile for a free consultation and exam. Call 888-535-2381 to get started with your personalized treatment plan. That's 888-535-2381. Call now.
In this, her first romance novel, State of Ecstasy.
Are you the parent of a troubled teen? Or you just want to have a closer relationship with your child? If so, sign up for our free webinar called 5 Easy Tips to Effective Communication with Your Teen right now, hosted by teen expert Release Henry. Log on to successfulteenparenting.com/webinar.
She walked in the court, her knees buckled, saying for a man to survive, he need hustle. Seen and been through struggle her whole life, made the transition from being his hoe to his wife. Stifling. The night had been the ATF busting. Her daddy was a hustler, so she loved him. Looked at the jury, how can they judge him? She screamed. Yeah. There in her chest, her face with tears. Had a man's back, he was facing years. In her name, though the place was his, they trying to take everything except the kids. For years she been through scuffle and fights, while he trying to hustle that white up all night. Wondering if he's alive, seeing him try, she bubbled inside and screamed. Yeah. Yeah. Judge yelled for order, court reporter making her words shorter. His lawyer sat next to him. She could see how the trial was affecting him. It hurt for her eyes to connect with him. Using her lies for protecting him. They arrested.
arrested him for murder and gun possession as they read back her confession. She screamed. Awaited as the foreman got the verdict from the bailiff. Emotional outbursts, tears, and smeared makeup. It stated he was guilty on all charges. She shaking, looking like she took it the hardest. A spin artist, she brought her face up laughing. That's when the prosecutor realized what happened. All that speaking of mind, testifying and crying. When this bitch did the crime, the queen pin.
Jesse Jackson Jr., of course, was a congressman out of Illinois, and he got busted for misappropriating campaign funds, got sentenced today, 2.5 years in prison, 3 years of probation after that, and he's going to have to pay back the $750,000 in campaign funds that he used on himself. Ouch. Now, what did he use these campaign funds for? This is unreal. Things such as Bruce Lee memorabilia. That's why you committed the crimes for? You? What an idiot. A $43,000 Rolex watch and a mink cashmere cape? You bought a cape, you dumbass? And he's so dumb because I don't know if you know this, but bribery has been legalized in America. If you, all you got to do is vote for whatever the hell they want. They give you all the campaign donations you want. They give it to your nonprofit. They'll hire your wife. They'll give her a fake job. They'll give everybody in your family fake jobs. We've covered it in every single instance, whether it was Norm Coleman's wife, it's Orrin Hatch's son. It's a date. And then when you get out of office, they'll pay you millions of dollars. Bribery's been legalized, you dumbass. Why did you do it in the illegal way? This is the dumbest politician in America. You should go to jail for that. So now his wife was also taking part in this. I don't know if it was her or him that wanted the cape. She also got 1 year in prison. She's ordered to pay $22,000 in restitution. Now, the judge was merciful and said that they will not serve it at the same time so that they can take turns taking care of their kids. Now, all of a sudden, Jesse Jackson Jr. is a hero, so he says to the judge during sentencing, if probation is not available to her, give me her time. Yeah, that's not how it works. Okay, you can't just come in and say, oh, she committed a crime, but can I serve a sentence? It's a BS way of trying to seem heroic at the last moment after he already took the money for his $43,000 Rolex. Why do you need a watch for $43,000? That's what you stole the money for. You didn't need it for your kids. You didn't need it for the education. You needed it for a gaudy, stupid-ass watch. And you're a U.S. congressman. They weren't going to notice your $43,000 watch. Can you get the sense that I think that this was a dumb move? Okay, now, finally, of course, as always, right before they go to jail, guess who they run into? Jesus of Nazareth. Quote, I still believe in the power of forgiveness. I believe in the power of redemption. Today I manned up and tried to accept responsibility for the error of my ways, and I still believe in the resurrection. Well, you'll have to wait 2.5 years for your resurrection because you're going to jail. Always with the Jesus talk. Where was Jesus when you were taking the money for your cape? Where was he then? How come you only run into him as you're about to go to jail? And he says, no, it's okay. I realize there are my ways. I wish you'd realize there are of your ways mid-robbery. That would have been more better for you. Would have been better for the people whose funds you were misusing, etc. It's always convenient that after they've been caught and they're about to get sentenced, that they realize the error of their ways and they look for redemption from Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what Lord Jesus Christ would not have been interested in. An asshole who buys a $43,000 watch. You'd have been the first one he threw out of the temple. Well, now you get to think more about Jesus as you sit there in prison for 2.5 years. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Common Sense TV. I'm your host, the Doctor of Common Sense and the Junkyard Dog. They have indicted Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife, and it is a tragic day in America. I mean tragic. This is a tragedy. Now, I don't understand why Jesse Jr. has to go to jail, because it's not his fault that the money was calling his name. I mean, the boy went to sleep, and when he went to sleep, the money woke him up and said, Jesse, rise and spend me. It wasn't his fault. I mean, if you ask his daddy, he'll tell you it wasn't Jesse's fault. Jesse Jackson Sr., could you explain to the folks what really happened? Well, it's not Jesse's fault. Let me tell you, it's the white man making Jesse take the money. They put the money in front of Jesse. Jesse had to take the money. The money called his name at night. The money called his name when he traveled. The money made his mistress need that watch and other things. It's not Jesse's fault. I think we should sue the white man for making Jesse take the money. That's what we should do. Can I get an amen? I'm sick of the oppression and suppression and rejection and subjection of the black man. Jesse is innocent. I'm telling you, the white man is to blame for putting the money in Jesse's hand. They knew he was bipolar. If he is bipolar, he very well can't be blamed for this. It's not his fault. White man need to stop oppressing the colored. We're still at the back of the bus. Jesse Jr. needs to get off because the white man put the money in front of him. Thank you, Jesse Jackson Sr. See, that's the mentality of the liberal mindset, especially Jesse Jackson. See, personally, I think it's the money's fault. Because Jesse Jackson Jr., the money should have known that he was going to steal it. You know, just like the gun calls people to shoot innocent people, we ban guns, we should ban money. That's the problem. If we had banned money, Jesse Jackson Jr. would never be in trouble if we just banned the money. No more money in America, damn it. Let's get money control. We start banning the money, we don't have to worry about the black man being oppressed by these white folks trying to force them to steal money. Now, let's ban money. I'm on a crusade. I'm going to get all the Hollywood actors and actresses to go on a crusade and make videos about how money is bad. We should ban it because it's causing people of color to steal the money. Now, we know they're not the only one. As a matter of fact, it's some white people that just stole some money, too. So I think on that note, Jesse Jackson Jr. shouldn't have to go to jail because some white people got off, too. This is the logic I want to use to defend my client, Jesse Jackson Jr. His wife put a lot of pressure on him to keep up with the Joneses. And in order to keep up with the Joneses, he had to steal the money. How you think he going to get his house redecorated if he don't steal the money? Now, you people are being unreasonable. As a matter of fact, he should get a bonus because he only sold $750,000. Now, that technically makes him a rich guy because Barack Obama said anybody making $250,000 or more was rich. So we're not going to get him on tax evasion and stealing the money. We're going to get him for being too damn rich. You need to be taxed, son, because you were stealing too much money and made yourself rich. And you know we are at war with the rich. Now, why aren't the media not saying anything about this rich, spoiled brat who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth? You know Jesse Jr. would not have been elected if it wasn't for his daddy. Now, come on now. This is nepotism. Now, Jesse was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He's a rich, spoiled kid. Why don't the media say this? He stole the money because he's spoiled and rich. His daddy had been ripping off. You know his dad is a professional pimp. And he's been pimping, getting money for years. And then he, matter of fact, why did Jesse Jackson Sr. ever go to jail for any? I know that boy's got to have been done something to be stealing or something. It ain't fair for Jesse Jr. to go to jail and Jesse Sr. gets to stay out. As a matter of fact, let's make Jesse Sr. the sacrificial lamb for Jesse Jr. Come on, Jesse. You need to at least go to jail for your son. Take the sins of your son upon you, my brother. Jesse Jackson Sr., would you be the sacrificial lamb for you?
Well, you know, I would be the sacrificial lamb, but it's not Jesse Jr.'s fault. It's the white man's fault, so therefore I can't be the sacrificial lamb. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let you suppress, oppress, depress, or depress me. Not going to happen. You may as well get another sacrificial lamb. How about let's get a white man to be the sacrificial lamb for Jesse Jr.? That sounds like a winner to me. Can I get a amen? That's what I think the problem is. The white man made Jesse steal the money. Now let him off. Matter of fact, give him a couple of $1 million.
Jesse,
you're looking at the most hated man in U.S. politics. A man who stole almost $1 million from his campaign and blew it on, well, really cool stuff. Jesse Jackson Jr. And this.
Situation that we've seen far too often across the political landscape. Today, Jesse Jackson Jr. Pled guilty and accepted responsibility to participating in a 7-year conspiracy to defraud his political supporters of their campaign contributions to the tune of nearly $750,000. Today, Jesse Jackson Jr. pled guilty and confessed to a variety of schemes, some of them simple, some of them sophisticated, but all of them had the same common purpose. All of them were designed to further finance his exorbitant lifestyle. The guilty plea today is so tragic because it represents such wasted potential. Jesse Jackson Jr. had the drive, the ability, and the talent to be the voice of a new generation. But he squandered that talent. He exchanged that instead to satisfy his personal whims and his extravagant lifestyle. He did acknowledge responsibility today, and for that he deserves credit. He did not seek to evade responsibility during this process. He did not make excuses. He came in early, he told the truth, and he saved the taxpayers the cost of a trial. But today is his day of reckoning. Jesse Jackson Jr. will face up to 5 years in prison. He will have a guideline range of 46 to 57 months. He will have to pay back the $750,000 that he stole, starting with forfeiting the furs and the guitars and the other celebrity memorabilia that he purchased. Today is his first step toward redemption. Today we also had Jesse Jackson Jr.'s wife, Sandy Jackson, former Chicago alderman, plead guilty as well. She pled guilty to filing false returns. As part of her plea, she acknowledged failing to report $600,000 in income from the years 2005 to 2011. She acknowledged using money from her alderman campaign account as well as another political organization that she controlled for her own personal benefit. She acknowledged receiving other sources of income through her company that were not reported. And she acknowledged spending money from her husband's campaign account on personal items. Sandy Jackson faces up to 3 years in prison. She has a guideline range of 18 to 24 months and will have to pay up to $168,000 in restitution. I want to now walk through the conduct that the individuals pled guilty to today. And if you look first on the right to the exhibit, you'll see there's a diagram, and it explains this scheme. For 7 years, Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife undertook a variety of different methods to funnel money out of his reelection campaign. Most directly, the Jacksons used their campaign credit cards to run up over $580,000 in personal expenses. They bought everything from flat-screen TVs to fur coats to a fedora worn by Michael Jackson. They went to Disney World. They ate at four-star restaurants and financed their day-to-day living, purchasing things like toilet paper and a refrigerator with campaign funds. Sometimes Jesse Jackson Jr. did not use his campaign credit card and would instead simply spend money directly from his campaign account. Most notably, in 2007, he used campaign money to purchase a $43,000 gold-plated Rolex watch. At other times, Mr. Jackson went to great lengths to disguise his theft of campaign funds. He funneled about $100,000 in campaign money through either his wife's business or through one of his congressional staff members, using some of that money to renovate the $2 million Jackson home in DuPont Circle, Washington, D.C. In all, Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife converted about $750,000 for personal gain. The nature of this spending makes clear that this was not a momentary lapse of judgment. This was not a short streak of impulsive behavior. Over 7 years, the Jacksons engaged in more than 3,100 transactions for their personal gain. It is clear that Jesse Jackson became convinced that his campaign account could be used to satisfy any personal whim that he had. Mr. Jackson's theft from his congressional campaign, however, was not enough, was not sufficient to satisfy his lavish lifestyle. He also depended upon secret gifts of more than $75,000 from third parties that he often funneled through his congressional staff members or other people. And if you look on our left, you'll see a diagram that explains these transactions. For example, in 2009, he funneled cash gifts through one of his district staff members to buy a guitar that had been used by Michael Jackson and Eddie Van Halen. He also used that staff member and three other people to help pay off personal credit card debts. Keeping this enormous fraud and these cash gifts a secret required Jesse Jackson Jr. to repeatedly lie to the Federal Election Commission and to the U.S. House of Representatives on various disclosure forms. For example, when Mr. Jackson spent $1,500 of campaign funds on a porcelain collector's items from a Chicago museum, he told the FEC that the money was spent to rent out a room for a campaign fundraiser. When he spent $400 of campaign money at the Home Depot to buy supplies for his lawn, he told the FEC that the money was being used to buy equipment for his campaign office. Jesse Jackson Jr. lied many times over many years to hide this fraud from the government and, most importantly, from his constituents. It's important to remember the true victims of the Jacksons' crimes. Those victims are the American people who place their hopes and dreams in them as political officials. Those people listened as Jesse Jackson Jr. eloquently expressed their deepest aspirations. They cheered as he ascended to political office, and they prayed that his public service would somehow provide a brighter path for them. Those contributors were people of modest means, senior citizens on fixed income, auto workers, teachers, plumbers. They donated their hard-earned money so that he could, through his political movement, somehow better their lives. He betrayed their trust. He spent their money that was designed or intended to be used to further his elections on items of excess, as I explained, the Rolex watch, the fur coats, the Michael Jackson guitar. The people of Illinois' 2nd District and the American people deserve better from our political leaders. I hope that this prosecution serves as a cautionary tale for those who would seek to set aside their ideals and their integrity for personal gain. This sort of fraud is inexcusable, and it won't be tolerated, especially not in our nation's capital. I want to thank many prosecutors from my office that worked on this case, Mike Atkinson, Matthew Graves, Catherine Connolly, Anthony Taylor, did a terrific job. I want to thank the outstanding investigators from the FBI, Washington Field Office, who investigated all these financial leads, interviewed so many witnesses. Again, outstanding work. And I want to thank the investigators from the IRS Criminal Investigative Service, who again did outstanding investigative work, especially on the Sandy Jackson tax fraud part of this case. Over the last few years, we have stood here with this team, and it's not been these same individuals, but it has often been U.S. Attorney's Office, FBI, and IRS. And
on behalf of IRS Criminal Investigation, I'm extremely proud to stand before you today in partnership with the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI. As a result of this partnership and under the leadership of the U.S. Attorney, former Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife, Sandra Stevens Jackson, pleaded guilty to criminal charges. Mr. Jackson has admitted to carrying out a fraud scheme while a member of Congress. Rather than using funds donated to his campaign fund for expenses related to his reelection, he used a substantial portion of those campaign funds, approximately $750,000, to pay for personal expenses. The criminal actions of former Congressman Jackson spanned 7 years. During that time, Jackson used campaign funds to purchase a wide range of personal items, including jewelry, furs, high-end electronics, celebrity memorabilia, furniture, and appliances. Jackson also took steps to hide his personal use of those campaign funds by filing false and misleading reports. This afternoon, Jackson's wife, Sandra Stevens Jackson, pleaded guilty to willfully filing false U.S. individual income tax returns for a six-year period. Mrs. Jackson signed the returns for calendar years 2005 through 2011. Though she knew substantial amounts of income were omitted from those returns, Mrs. Jackson knowingly and willfully failed to report more than $500,000 in taxable income for those years. Today, justice is being served. We will not allow political corruption to be the standard, to be the way we run our country. We hold our elected officials to a high level of trust. And while the vast majority of public officials are hardworking and dedicated, fraud and corruption at any level of public service breaches this trust. The sanctity of this trust is why it is absolutely vital that IRS-CI is dedicated to investigating any allegations of political corruption. Regardless of political power or public station, IRS-CI and our law enforcement partners here today remain committed to investigating those who consider themselves above the law and to bring them to justice. Those who signed our Constitution envisioned our representatives would hold themselves to an unwavering ethical standard, a standard of character with no exemptions, no room for improper entitlements. They were profoundly aware that our democracy would fail without it. It is in this spirit of our founding fathers that we in IRS-CI relentlessly hold accountable the few in office that chooses financial gain over duty. From small town mayors to those in very high offices, IRS-CI has continuously demonstrated our resolve. By doing so, we serve as a guardian of public integrity, warding off many seeking office for sinister purposes. I want to thank my special agent and prosecutors who worked this case alongside the FBI. Thank you.
sinners, everyone must play fair.
She walked in the court, her knees buckled, saying for a man to survive, he need hustle. Seen and been through struggle her whole life, made the transition from being his home to his wife. Stifling, the night had been the ATF busting. Her daddy was a hustler, so she loved him. Looked at the jury, how can they judge him? She screamed. In her chest, her face with tears, had a man's back, he was facing years, in her name, though the place was his, they trying to take everything except the kids, for years she been through scuffle and fights, while he trying to hustle that white, up all night, wondering if he's alive, seeing him try, she bubbled inside and screamed. Judge yelled for order, court reporter making her words shorter. His lawyer sat next to him. She could see how the trial was affecting him. It hurt for her eyes to connect with him. Using her lies for protecting him. They arrested him for murder and gun possession. As they read back her confession, she screamed.
So Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife show up in federal court today, crying, weeping, blubbering into the handkerchiefs, and all the tears that they shed couldn't put those stuffed elk heads back on the wall, and they couldn't put the $750,000 back. He received 30 months. She got a year in prison, 12 months, for stealing $750,000. Are you kidding me? Try stealing $7,000 from a bank. See what happens. Try stealing $2,000 from a gas station. See what happens.
She take my money. Well, I'm in need. Yes, it's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger. Way over town. That digs on me. She kill me, mom.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger.
Well, I'm in need.
With no broke. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head. She need a bomb, met her at a beauty salon with a baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said, I could tell you rock, I could tell by your charm. Five girls, you got a flock, I could tell by your charm and your arm, but I'm looking for the one. How you my psychic told me she have a sex arena. Trina, Gina, for Lopez, four kids. And I gotta take all they back to show this. Okay, get your kids, but then they got their friends. I put up in the bins, they all got a bin. We all went to den, and then I had to pay. If you're f***ing with this girl, then you better be paid. You know why? Take too much to touch her. From what I heard, she got a baby by Buster. My best friend said she used to f*** with Usher. I don't care what none of y'all say, I still love her. Now,
I still believe in the resurrection.
Former Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. reacting after he's sentenced to 2.5 years in prison. Good afternoon. Both Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife Sandy sentenced to federal prison time today.
Now, before that sentence was handed down, both of them gave tearful pleas for mercy. ABC 7's Ben Bradley was there for the sentencing, and as it was handed down, he joins us live once again from Washington, D.C. Ben?
Linda Allen, Jesse Jackson Jr. spoke more emotionally, powerfully, and tearfully than any public official I've seen hauled before a federal judge. But in the end, it was likely his decision to cooperate early and plead guilty that helped him more than any words he spoke in court today.
It could have been worse. Jesse Jackson Jr., sentenced to 2.5 years
prosecutors wanted four.
I still believe in the power of forgiveness. I believe in the power of redemption. Today I manned up and tried to accept responsibility for the errors of my ways.
Jackson made a last-ditch attempt to spare his wife prison time. In court, he tearfully told the judge, "Give me her time. What she did was a subset of what I did, a culture I allowed to exist." The judge said no, saying the former Chicago alderman also enjoyed living large thanks to her husband's campaign fund, appliances for their home, furniture for the kids, furs, and trips.
This has been an extraordinarily difficult time for our family.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson, his wife, and other family members fought back tears as Jesse Jr. told the judge, "I also want to apologize to my dad and my mother because I am an example for the whole family." The former congressman revealed he prefers serving his time farther from his family, saying, "I asked for Alabama so I could be as far away from everybody as I could be for a while."
He is still recovering. Jesse has been very sick. This time a year ago, I really thought we may have lost him. I think he's strong enough now to accept the challenges put before him by the judge.
The judge did not dispute Jesse Jackson Jr.'s bipolar diagnosis, but did say defense attorneys simply didn't present much evidence of the illness's severity or Jackson's treatment.
She now is going to move forward into this period of time where she's going to be able to be with the children, get them through this difficult time, and rebuild her life.
Jesse Jr. also says he's looking forward, not back.
I still believe in the power of forgiveness. I believe in the power of redemption.
The judge has agreed to a Jackson family request to allow Jesse Jr. to report to prison first. He'll do that sometime after November 1st. He also has to pay back $750,000, the money that he stole from his campaign fund. Today in court, Jesse Jr. said he believes he will be able to pay that money back to the government. He says he hopes before he has to report to prison. That's latest live in Washington. Ben Bradley, ABC 7 News. Alan?
Ben, do we know when the Bureau of Prisons will decide where he will be serving the sentence?
Well, the judge agreed to a request that Jesse Jr. serve his time at the federal prison camp in Montgomery, Alabama. She's also recommending that Sandy Jackson serve her time at a women's facility in Florida. But those are just recommendations. It's the Bureau of Prisons that ultimately decides who goes where.
Right. Now, of course, that decision's still to come. We haven't heard that. All right, Ben, thanks so much for reporting live from Washington, D.C. Well, this has been a long road leading to this point for Jesse Jackson Jr. He was first elected to Congress back in December of 1995 after winning that special election to replace embattled Representative Mel Reynolds. His personal problems actually began to unravel in June of last year when Jackson took a medical leave from Congress. It was a month later that his office reported that he was being treated for a mood disorder. Then in August of last year, the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, said that Jackson was being treated for bipolar disorder. In November, sources revealed that Jackson was negotiating a plea deal with prosecutors who were investigating him as well as his finances. Then just a few weeks later, he resigned from Congress, citing health issues in a letter to House Speaker John Boehner. In that letter, he said that the constituents of the 2nd District deserve a full-time legislator in Washington, something that he could not be for the foreseeable future. And then it was in February of this year, federal charges filed against the former congressman and his wife, the former alderman, Sandy Jackson. 5 days later, they both pleaded guilty to the criminal charges against them. Linda?
And now to some background on the judge in this case. Judge Amy Berman Jackson has an extensive legal career. The Harvard graduate appointed as a United States district judge in March of 2011. And then prior to that, she was in private practice in Washington, D.C. as a member of Trout Cacheris. That is where she specialized in complex criminal and civil trials and appeals. And then from 1980 to 1986, Judge Jackson had served as an assistant United States attorney for the District of Columbia.
Well, prosecutors and Justice Department officials releasing some strong statements criticizing the Jacksons today. U.S. Attorney Ronald Machen writing, "Jesse Jackson Jr.'s journey from the halls of Congress to federal prison is a tragedy of his own making. The prison sentence imposed today should serve as a wake-up call to other public officials who believe there are no consequences for betraying the public trust." Richard Weber, the IRS Criminal Investigation Division chief, writing, "This case exposed layers of greed and corruption masked by the illusion of success. The Jacksons were granted the privilege of political office to better the lives of others, but used it instead for their own selfish benefit." Valerie Parley, the assistant FBI director in charge, saying Mr. Jackson and his wife selfishly supported themselves with campaign funds and went to great lengths to hide their illegal activity, but they can hide no more as they pay the price with today's sentences.
Well, I did not cast one stone. These were not my words. These were not things that I said. So I kept it real. In the side of fraternities that we have of civil rights children, we kept it real. But we know we're one step out of line and diss each other's parents. You see, we know how it is to be out there watching our parents go to TV, getting beat by police, getting arrested, fight for freedom. We know the thin line between keeping it real and keeping it wrong. But I kept it wise, homie. Yeah, I slammed you, but these were not my words. These were how your peers and your people see you. You know what I'm saying? Give me some nature boy, because I feel like I'm doing a little nature boy. I feel like I spoke a little wisdom and stuff like that. They fade to commercial. Let's do it like that.
Walking down the street now is a dangerous thing. There are drug dealers, crack houses, gang members, and crackheads. People fighting, cursing, and killing too. so much chaos, we don't know what to do. But if people only knew that they're hurting little children, if they can only walking down the street now is a dangerous thing. There are drug dealers, crack houses, gang members, and crackheads. People fighting, cursing, and killing too. So much chaos, we don't know what to do. But if people only knew that they're hurting little children, if they can only see what our community could be. When in consultation, 1, stay calm. 2, try to say something positive. 3, tell the person what's on your mind. 4, ask if the person understands. 5, thank the person for listening if you can. Come on, y'all, let's be an example. It has to start somewhere. How about now? For more information on ways to prevent violent crimes, contact Totally Positive Productions at 773-488-9553.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
everyone must play fair. All you beginners know that you got to start somewhere.
While you teach that we'll be alright.